Lots to talk about regarding the NBA Finals and even going forward. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Lee Jenkins is my guest. Lee, it's always good to have you on. Great to have you back. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Jim. How are you?
Lee, I'm great. Thank you for joining us. Breaking news this morning, of course, the announcement that the Philadelphia 76ers, Lee, and Brian Colangelo were parting ways. What a strange story that was. What is your reaction to the news?
I'm actually just surprised it took this long. It felt inevitable. I mean, I don't think they can go forward as an organization with him there. And, you know, I started to think last night, like, you know, what kind of value even is this? It's not as if, I mean, I'm sure he's an accomplished executive and everything, but you can always go and find, I think, another GM. What you can't do is repair a relationship with your star players, specifically Joel Embiid, after something like this, because it goes back to, even if it was the guy's wife, it's still information she's presumably getting from him. There's no other way she could be getting that information and the opinion. You know, if Joel Embiid knows that that's the opinion of the guy who employs him, I just don't see how you move forward. And that team clearly has so much at stake and such a promising future. I just can't jeopardize that over an executive.
Hey, listen, I know why they did what they did, but where does that leave him? Would another team bring him in on that level?
I mean, it's sad to say, Jim. I don't see that. Do you see that?
No, I don't.
I mean, I almost wonder if he ends up, does he end up in the media? You know, I've thought about that a lot. Like, and this is somebody with deep roots in USA basketball, but I don't even know if you can do that. I think that will be a really interesting thing to see. And it feels like in the past, at least in other sports, you have, you know, disgraced players or coaches that end up on TV. They end up kind of rehabbing themselves. If you look at A-Rod, I mean, you end up rehabbing themselves, you know, with the media. And I sort of wonder if that's the way he'll go, but I don't really have any insight into it.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins. You know, Lee, shifting back to the finals, knowing Kevin Durant as you do, and I'm thinking about that profile from back in the day that you had on him when he told you that he was tired of finishing second. What did you think as you were watching that performance that he put on last night?
He really wanted that. He was somebody who knows him told me, you're going to see OKC KB tonight. And I think he's felt at some points through this run, like, you know, he's been an A-level guy his whole career. He's been the guy. And Golden State's trying to pull off a trick that not many teams have pulled off, where you have two superstars essentially both riding in the front seat. You know, you look back at Miami, they had, at some point, they made the decision, those players made the decision, that LeBron was going to ride in the front and Dwayne Wade was going to take a bit of a back seat. And I think that, as kind of functional as this Golden State culture is, that's still a hard trick to pull. And I think Durant, in some ways, at some points, he needs to be able to rediscover that part of himself, which is just take over KD. I mean, with the heart of this guy is that he is an incredible scorer, a top two player in the league, maybe the most talented when you just talk about shot making in addition to the other physical gifts, player in the league. And so to me, that game, I kind of felt like he had to have a game like that almost as a reminder of what he can bring to a team and that he's not necessarily here as just a luxury, as they call him, because they do. They'll call him things like a safety valve or a luxury. And sometimes you just think and you're like, this is Kevin Durant. I mean, this was the guy who was going to be right there with LeBron several years ago. That was the way I think we all expected it to unfold. And he is right there with LeBron in terms of, and ahead of him from a team standpoint. Last night, I think he was able to show it individually.
Lee Jenkins joining us. Lee, to that point, you know, him and LeBron. Last year, Durant said of LeBron, quote, "LeBron was larger than life. I was just taller," end quote. I mean, yeah. It's a great, great quote. And then LeBron was really complimentary of Durant last night. So what's your sense as to the dynamic between the two of them right now?
I mean, they're not best friends or anything. That's not those days of Durant going to train with LeBron in Akron. And remember, they went to dinner at Prime in Miami after one of those finals games back in 2012. Those days are over. That the relationship's not that. But I do think, you know, I think LeBron sort of views himself sort of as a keeper of the sport at this point. And to him, Durant has always been the main challenger. I think the other guys have come and gone and maybe have been sort of nuisances, but there's just been, I mean, you can't not have a respect for Durant's game because there is no bad shot for him, really. And that's what was sort of interesting through that, through this playoff run. There's been all these debates about the ISO game and him taking kind of bad shots. But when you're 7 feet tall, essentially, and you shoot like that with those arms, there is no really bad shot. I think that LeBron just has, he has a respect for KD's physical gifts because really nobody else is that gifted besides him.
Like J.R. Smith said, he's a 7'2" guard, Lee. And when he gets cooking last night, you can forget it. You know, I was also fascinated. Lee Jenkins, my guest. I was fascinated watching Rodney Hood last night. And I thought you had a really interesting piece with him earlier in the series when he wasn't playing. He told you that he was watching highlights of himself on YouTube and reminding himself that those highlights were from this year and that he could still play. So how would you describe his mindset when he was describing that to you?
Yeah, and a lot of guys do that. I even remember LeBron saying that way back, like after the Dallas series. I remember him saying that he would watch his old highlights as kind of reminders. So I don't think that's unusual. I think what's unusual about Hood is that it wasn't that long ago. And it's like these guys don't just forget how to play. So much of for NBA players is fit and circumstance. And for some reason, there will be players who thrive alongside LeBron James and their careers are kind of made because of it. And then there are others who, for one reason or another, and maybe it's strategic and maybe it's more psychological, they aren't able to find their footing. So I think for Rodney Hood, it's just he's sitting there. You're talking about a guy who's averaging career highs. I think he's averaging 18 a game or 16 a game or something in Utah. And then all of a sudden he can't get off the bench behind Jordan Clarkson. So I think so much of his time has been spent trying to get confidence back and people in his ear trying to infuse confidence in him because it's not, to me, it's, for Rodney Hood, this isn't even about this finals. It's just about, can you still go back to being a viable NBA player? Like who are you? This guy's going to be a free agent and teams are going to have to make calls on a dude like this and figure out which version of Rodney Hood are we even getting?
Right, I'm not sure which one it is. I know this. He was electric last night, I thought. Lee, the Cavs clearly are not as good of a team as the Warriors, but they did have a great chance in Game 1. They had a very good chance last night. How frustrating, Lee, is it for LeBron to do what he's done and still be on the verge of getting swept?
Yeah, I mean, it's been massively frustrating, but it's an era, right? And I think even if as close as they get, it feels, and it's sort of like the Rockets. You know, I was in there last night thinking, well, maybe if they had Chris Paul, it wouldn't have even mattered, right? It seems like the Warriors at times this season, they'll do just enough. Like they're not, the old Warriors would just kind of blow you out for the fun of it, like the sport of it. It didn't even matter if they were, you know, leading the conference by 100 games. They would still just try to kill everybody. It seems like now they'll kind of they'll toy with you a little bit. They're okay with keeping it close. I think they like the edge that comes with, you know, a tight game or a tight series even, but that in the end, they have so much more than everybody else. Their margin for error is so massive. So you can have a game like last night where you get nothing from Curry, you get nothing from Thompson, and you still win on the road because you've got one more Hall of Famer in your bag. I think LeBron's probably at the point where most of the NBA is at, where he realizes this is virtually an impossible task. Maybe you win a game. Maybe you win two games, but to actually take them out in a seven-game series, I think is nearly impossible.
So, Lee, before you go, where do you think that leaves LeBron? I mean, what do you think it says? I mean, the series isn't over, and already there's a temptation to start talking about whether or not he's going to leave, and if he does, where he might go. How do you see the whole process playing out over the next month or so?
I think he'll string it out. He always does. It's going to depend on is the motivation at this point, and I would have to lean toward that it is, given everything that we know of him, to find a place where he has the best chance to create the rebuttal to the Warriors. And that rebuttal may come from within. It may come from a Warriors player at some point saying, I want to go front my own franchise again. I want to kind of be the guy again somewhere. It could come from the salary cap permutations that Golden State will have to face in the next couple of years, or it could come from outside. It could come from basically LeBron James saying, I'm going to go here because they have this and I think we can get more. We can get a lot more. And, you know, when you think about the Lakers, it's not necessarily what they have. It's what they have the ability to go get in the next two or three years that maybe after Golden State cycles down somewhat, they could be in a position to be that next team moving forward. That's where, to me, the intrigue lies with them. It's not necessarily even about Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. It's more about what they have the potential to do with those two max slots, with being the Lakers, with Magic Johnson, and with some of those young players potentially growing.
Lee, quick follow. I really appreciate your time. You mentioned Golden State, that maybe one of those guys might want to go front some other franchise themselves. I could see Kevin Durant maybe wanting to do that. Do you think Klay Thompson has that in him? Is that something he thinks about and something he might want?
I don't know him as well, but I would say from what I do know that that's unlikely. I think, you know, I don't think it would be Klay Thompson. I don't even know that it would be Durant. I think it's possible. I think a lot of these guys, you sit here on a day like this and it seems like this thing's going to go on forever. And it might. They might be in the middle of it. It's funny, they talk about it kind of like it's the end. Like Kerr will compare it to the 98 Bulls. And you sit there, well, that was the end. And you guys theoretically should just be in the middle. And they probably are just in the middle. But a year ago, I wouldn't have believed that Kyrie Irving would have asked out either. So things change and guys sort of want different things and want different challenges. And the Kevin Durant you saw last night, I mean, he can be that pretty much every night. That's how good he can be. Everybody is suppressing a piece of themselves to win like this, but guys also want to win on their own terms. So how you navigate, you know, that kind of internal conflict will sort of be revealing of what happens with them going forward.
Lee Jenkins, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Lee, I always appreciate you working hard to make yourself available for this program. Thank you so much for doing that, Lee.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, Lee. I appreciate that because he's right in the middle of the NBA Finals. Hard to get guys like that are grinding in the middle of the NBA Finals. So my thanks to Lee Jenkins. So I'll set up hour number three for you. We're open. We've done all three of the interviews. Mike Freeman, Tony Loughman, Lee Jenkins.